Hi, I'm Debbie. This is the story of the Grenada Revolution, a story that has fascinated me for years. What you're about to hear is the first segment of 5. For additional information, including show notes, timelines, a who's who glossary, please visit GrenadaRevo.com. That's Grenada, R-E-V-O.com. Thank you for listening. On October 14th, 1983, Morris Bishop, the Prime Minister of Grenada, a small island in the Caribbean, was a prisoner in his own home. He had been placed under house arrest by members of his very own political party, the New Jewel Movement, NJM. As commander-in-chief, his own military and the party's core decision-makers, the Central Committee, were against him. Strangely, most of the island's population of approximately 90,000 people had no clue about this unusual situation. But within a matter of days, once word of Morris Bishop's house arrest and the NJM's internal problems became public knowledge, a catalyst of events began to unfold, and these events ended with Morris Bishop being gunned down by members of his own military, and subsequently, a U.S.-led invasion of the island and the end of the Grenada Revolution. On the Caribbean island of Grenada, on March 13, 1979, the New Jewel Movement, a left-wing political party, overthrew the existing government of Grenada Prime Minister Eric Gehry by forcibly removing Gehry's Grenada United Labour Party while Gehry was away from the island visiting the United States. Prior to the uprising, Sir Eric Gehry, described as highly eccentric and increasingly autocratic, had dominated Grenada's politics for almost 30 years. As a former trade union organizer, Gehry had been a hero of Grenada's poor estate workers in the 1950s. However, Gehry had misused his authority, and the basic infrastructure of Grenada had deteriorated under his watch. Roads were in disrepair. The country's health system was depressingly ill-equipped. Education had been neglected, and yet taxes increased for the average person. The stagnation and the poverty of Grenada at that time offered a dim future. And then to those who dared to oppose Eric Gehry's dominance and his questionable tactics, primarily a younger generation of Grenadians, Gehry was vengeful. Police brutality was widespread, and his opponents were often attacked. Grenada's justice system, filled with Gehry supporters, was a lost cause for any hope of fairness. Formed in 1973 and led by an alluring middle-class British educated attorney by the name of Morris Bishop, the New Jewel Movement, the NJM, organized several demonstrations throughout the 1970s in protest of Eric Gehry and his corruption. And over the course of 6 years, NJM members, as a result, were beaten, threatened, searched, harassed, and imprisoned under the orders of Gehry. Prime Minister Gehry's unforgivable actions disgusted many, both inside and outside of Grenada. And by 1979, the NJM had amassed the support of many citizens, especially Grenada's youth, who did not have the allegiance that their parents and grandparents did toward Gary for all the good that he had done. They hadn't seen this firsthand, and they were fed up with Gary's dictatorship. But as early as 1974, about a year after it was formed, the NJM moved from being a loosely organized group without much structure to becoming a self-proclaimed vanguard party. And the party secretly began transitioning to Marxist-Leninist principles. This decision, however, was not made public, and it didn't change the party's tactics in its fight against Eric Gary. But the NJM was a Marxist-Leninist group. And so, during the early dark hours of the morning of March 13, 1979, while Prime Minister Eric Gary was in the United States, the militant wing, known as the National Liberation Army of the NJM, which was a group of less than 50 people, stormed the True Blue Army Barracks and overpowered more than 200 soldiers of Eric Gary's Defense Force in what became known as the first ever unconstitutional transfer of power to happen in the English-speaking Caribbean.
Government of the criminal dictator Eric M. Gary has been overthrown. The entire army has surrendered, and all the arms have been captured. The revolutionary government has been formed. All religious rights and freedom are now restored. The people's rights to life and private property are hereby restored. The new revolutionary government calls on all the people to defend the revolution. The new government orders all police to remain in the barracks and police stations and to await further instructions which will be broadcast over the station. Absolutely free and fair elections will be held speedily. The new government wishes to assure all those concerned that the life and property of all foreign residents are safe, guaranteed, and will be protected. The new government looks forward to continuing friendly relationships with all countries.
It was a huge, huge deal. And once the shock of the overthrow had set in, most, although not all, but most of the Grenadian people were ecstatic. Gary was finally gone, and the NJM was in. Once in power, the NJM newly formed government became known as the People's Revolutionary Government, the PRG. It formed a cabinet made up predominantly, though not exclusively, of NJM members. The new government's policies and its programs became known as the Grenada Revolution, commonly known as the Revo by most locals. Morris Bishop, leader of the NJM, became Grenada's prime minister, and his associate Bernard Cord was named deputy prime minister. In addition to the new government, Eric Gary's army was discarded, and the NJM created a new army to protect the revolution. And this army was known as the People's Revolutionary Army, the PRA. Additionally, a people's militia made up of unpaid civilians who received infantry training and uniforms was also formed to assist the army in national defense. The PRG was run by a central committee that formed and functioned as the decision-making arm of the party. This was a tight-knit group of NJM members. They also formed another group, the Political Bureau, and this group served as the party's policymaker. Again, another small, close-knit group. The Grenada Revolution was funded with substantial foreign aid. Much to the dismay of the United States government, one country that took a very early interest in Grenada and the Grenada Revolution was Cuba. In addition to providing funding, Cuba provided doctors and teachers and arms and ammunition almost as soon as the NJM took power. NJM party members traveled to Cuba for consultation and for training. Cuba also played an integral part in the construction of a new international airport, which was located on the southwest tip of the island. Work on this airport began in 1980, with a completion date that was scheduled for March 1984, which was to be the fifth anniversary of the Grenada Revolution. And from the Cubans, the Grenada Revolution received materials, equipment, skilled volunteers, and construction workers specifically for the airport project. Cuba wasn't the only source of foreign aid, however. Grenada also received assistance from Libya, Syria, the Soviet Union, and several Eastern European worker states. With the foreign aid received, several economic and social changes happened throughout Grenada. There were lots of improvements in education, in healthcare, agriculture, and housing. And for the first time, Grenadians actively participated in local councils that were established at the village level. So people would openly discuss their needs and their goals at these community meetings, and then information from these meetings would then be communicated to an elected representative who would in turn present this to a National Assembly Council for appropriate action. But in time, it seemed that Grenadians had perhaps exchanged one type of autocrat for another. So Gary was gone. Things were great for a while, but then it seemed that maybe not so much. Confusion and suspicion became widespread. The NJM blocked the dissemination of competing views, including closing the island's only independent newspaper. Worse still, several people were imprisoned without charge or trial for what the NJM deemed as national security reasons. It seemed that anyone with a different point of view was branded as counter. And as a result, people began to express their opinions secretly, in whispers. Additionally, Morris Bishop had promised that there would be elections. That didn't happen. For the 4.5 years that the NJM was in power, there was no one else to contest them. The NJM ruled Grenada single-handedly for 4.5 years. Unbeknownst to most Grenadians, though, as early as 1982, divisions appeared to exist among members of the NJM leadership. And the divisions focused mainly on the two key leaders of the organization, Prime Minister Morris Bishop and Deputy Prime Minister Bernard Cord. Morris Bishop and Bernard Cord had a personal and professional relationship that went back to their school days, but they had different approaches to many issues. The majority of Grenadians adored Bishop. Bishop was charismatic, and he was an excellent speaker. He was truly a man of the people. He had very little patience with long philosophical arguments, but he truly enjoyed delivering a passionate speech to capture the heart of his audience. Bernard Cord, on the other hand, was a brilliant strategist, an organizer, a man of details, but he didn't resonate in the warm and fuzzy way that Bishop did with the people. However, Cord regarded as having much more clarity and easily the NJM member most schooled in Marxist-Leninist doctrine. Cord enjoyed the support and had the respect of the majority of the NJM Central Committee. And you'll remember the Central Committee was the decision-making body for the organization, for the Grenada Revolution. Many of those members supported Bernard Cord, whereas Morris Bishop was the man of the people. It's interesting to note, by the way, that despite what you may hear and what you may read, there is not much evidence that Morris Bishop's political beliefs were so very different from Bernard Cord and Bernard Cord's supporters. They had a different way to get to the end result, but the beliefs were not that far apart. The division that formed within the NJM leadership consisted of an anti-Bishop faction with an allegiance to Bernard Cord, and a group of members who were staunch and loyal supporters of Prime Minister Morris Bishop. The NJM top leaders devoted to Bishop included George Lewison, and he served as Minister of Agriculture. George Lewison was a former teacher, a primary school teacher and a youth coordinator, and one of Bishop's strongest supporters. He was an early member of the NJM and also a member of the Central Committee and the powerful Political Bureau. George Lewison and Bernard Cord did not get along very well. In fact, Bernard Cord has described George Lewison as a liar. Unison Whiteman was another member of the NJM who was loyal to Morris Bishop. Whiteman was an economist and served as Grenada's foreign minister. He was an early member. In fact, he was the founder of JUUL. JUUL was the predecessor to New JUUL movement. JUUL stood for Joint Endeavor for Welfare, Education, and Liberation. JUUL combined with another organization led by Morris Bishop, MAP, and the two became New JUUL Movement. So Unison Whiteman was the founder of JUUL and therefore an early member of the New JUUL Movement. Fitzroy Bain was a trade unionist, another loyal supporter of Morris Bishop, and he served as the leader of the Agricultural and General Workers Union. Kendrick Radix, sometimes referred to as Kenrick Radix, was a childhood friend of Morris Bishop. Just like Bishop, he was trained in the United Kingdom as an attorney. And Kendrick Radix served as Minister of Industrialization and Fisheries, a very close friend of Morris Bishop. Einstein Lewison was another member of the Morris Bishop faction within the NJM. He served as the Army Chief of Staff, and he was actually the highest officer within the military who was not aligned with Bernard Cord's faction. Most of the military's top leaders were in line with Bernard Cord, not so for Einstein Lewison. And you'll notice that Einstein Lewison shares the same last name as George Lewison, the Minister of Agriculture, and they are brothers. Jacqueline Kreft served as Minister of Education for the NJM, and she actually was a personal friend, known as Morris Bishop's mistress. And then Vincent Noel was another trade unionist, a prominent trade unionist, and he served as the President of Bank and General Workers Union, and also the Vice President of Commercial and Industrial Workers Union. A very good friend and supporter of Morris Bishop. And you'll notice as we go through the list of names of people and their responsibilities that many of these positions, many of these people held multiple titles. And that was because there was such a small number of people within the leadership of the NJM that it wasn't unusual for one person to hold two, even three different roles. So that was the list of the supporters of Morris Bishop, George Lewison, Unison Whiteman, Fitzroy Bain, Kenrick Radix, Einstein Lewison, Jacqueline Kreft, and Vincent Noel. The NJM members who were supporters of Bernard Cord, and safe to say, towards the end of the revolution against Morris Bishop, included Bernard Cord. Bernard Cord served as the Deputy Prime Minister of Grenada, and he also held a cabinet position as the Minister of Finance. Bernard Cord's wife, Phyllis Cord, served as the head of the National Women's Organization, and she was also part of the Bernard Cord faction. Hudson Austin was a former prison guard or warden of Grenada's Richmond Hill Prison. He was one of the more senior, one of the older members of the New Dual Movement, and he served as the general of the armed forces during the Grenada Revolution. Hudson Austin is listed as someone who was part of the Bernard Cord faction, but for the longest while, he was viewed as someone who was loyal to Morris Bishop. But coming down to the end, when it seemed that Hudson Austin needed to pick a side, he chose Bernard Cord. Leon Cornwall served as Grenada's ambassador to Cuba. He was also the chairman of the Youth Committee, and later on he became the major of the People's Revolutionary Army. Liam James was another member of the Cord faction, and he served as the Chief of National Security. Selwyn Strom was also a member of Bernard Cord's faction. He served as the Minister of Communications, Works, and Labor, and he also was a very early member of JUUL and MAP before becoming a part of the new JUUL movement. John Ventor was a union leader, and he served as General Secretary of the Commercial Industrial Workers Union. John Ventor, also nicknamed Chalky, was a mathematician and a musician, and also a loyal supporter of Bernard Cord. Ewart Lane was the Lieutenant Colonel and Operational Commander of the Army, and he was a second in command and served as the commander of the day-to-day operations. Another member of the Bernard Cord faction. So within Bernard Cord's side, we have Phyllis Cord, Hudson Austin, Leon Cornwall, Liam James, Selwyn Strawn, John Ventor, and Ewart Lane. What's also interesting to point out is that several members of the Cord faction were part of another group. This group was a student study group that was formed in 1975, and the name of the group, Organization of Revolutionary Education and Liberation, OREL is the acronym, was established as a student study group that taught the principles of Marxism. And there are many references that credit Bernard Cord as being the person who founded this group. However, Bernard Cord has denied that. And based on the group's formation and Bernard Cord's movement throughout the Caribbean, it is possible that he was not the founder. However, one thing is clear, he was an integral part of that group. And many of its members, if not all of them, looked to him as a mentor. So when the NJM was formed, members of the OREL group assimilated into NJM. But what is clear is that despite Morris Bishop being the head of the NJM and later on the Prime Minister of Grenada, members of this group, members of the OREL group, never truly viewed Morris Bishop as their leader. And the group never truly towed the line with the NJM. Instead, former OREL members looked up to their mentor, Bernard Cord, the Deputy Prime Minister, as the person who would lead the way. And that that distinction becomes a lot clearer as the story develops and the divisions become more obvious between the leaders of the NGM. What's interesting is that most of ORL members were placed in key positions within the NJM, while systematically, Bishop's closest allies and friends were removed from the key decision-making roles in the party and in the army. So the overall feeling of pride that swept through Grenada and the upward progression that was witnessed during the early years of the Grenada Revolution, it eventually began to wane. And as the growing economic difficulties and counter-revolutionary activities that were taking place continued, members of the Cord faction believed that the answer was to strengthen the Leninist discipline. So remember, the NJM was a Marxist-Leninist organization, unknown to the majority of Grenadians at the time. When the problems began, especially Bernard Cord's faction, and some of Bishop's supporters, to be fair, believed that the way to get things back on track was to weed out the worst elements of the party. Vincent Noel, the trade unionist, was one of the first of Maurice Bishop's people to be removed from his government post and the political bureau. And that happened as early as 1981. Kenrick Radix, who once served as Minister of Legal Affairs, who never got along with Bernard Cord, suffered a similar fate. And so it was that Bishop, Maurice Bishop, was blamed for the country's problems, as far as the Cord faction was concerned. And by the summer of 1983, the growing split within the NJM reached a critical point when the Bernard Cord faction attempted to get Maurice Bishop to accept a power-sharing role. In fact, by October 1983, the faction had made the decision to force Bishop out of the government entirely. So what follows is a timeline of events that led to the demise of the Grenada Revolution. For show notes for this episode, visit grenadarevo.com/01. To learn more about the story of the Grenada Revolution, including additional episodes, a glossary, photos, timelines, articles, and more, visit grenadarevo.com. Thank you for listening.